The show's really good. I mean, it's from season to season, it's one of the more consistent shows.
Yeah, but
I've never seen a show that completely swap, not formats, but change stories, change right. settings and characters every season and still keep quality.
Black Market Toast Podcast, where it's hey, take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode number 54, and this time we are jumping off of the anthology television show American Horror Story. We went with season one.
Murder House.
And American Horror Story was... It was unique when it came out, especially yeah. going into season two.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because instead of continuing the story from season one, they went with the anthology series, but not in a traditional, like, Twilight Zone anthology
right.
where it's episode by episode. They do a season by season. And we've seen that kind of taken up by True Detective and Fargo yeah. and other... Yeah. series since
well I mean I think they didn't even say things happen in the same universe quotation marks
right.
you know until what was it season three or four
yeah
where you had the first character to ever reprise you know come in from one season to another there was no bleed over
well and there are so a lot of the actors that get pulled into this series stay
oh yeah
because
and they're good actors
yeah because Once they come in and they see the vision of the directors and see how things are run, they want to stick around. And even though, you know, their role completely goes away from year to year, they're sticking with the project. And so you see Kathy Bates, you see Jessica Lange, you see
Evan Peters, Connie Britton.
Yeah, you see them yeah. over and over again. And you get to see... some of the range of these actors.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you didn't know before this that Jessica Lange was a freaking amazing actress, which you should.
Right.
Watch this show.
Yes.
I mean, she plays the entire range. I mean, from the kind of creepy old widow in, what was it, Freak Show. She plays this, you know, kind of washed up German, you know.
Thing. Yeah.
Sideshow lady. Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, she just a lot of range. Evan Peters.
Yeah.
This show brought him out of the ether.
Exactly.
Like, he
yeah.
came out of nowhere.
Yeah. He became Quicksilver.
Yeah.
Because of this show.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, again, his range that he has to show in every
yeah.
season, his character is completely different.
Completely. Yes. Yes.
So
he goes from... God, how much do we give away?
I mean, you
it's
away
several years
shows.
Old
yeah,
now,
been out for
so,
6 years.
I mean...
It's on Netflix. We're not going
to
ruin it.
I mean, he goes from being the sociopath in season one
yeah.
To, you know, the romantic lead in season two almost.
Yeah.
yeah.
To the, yeah, where he, you know, playing a freak in season three that was
yeah,
know,
yeah.
completely different.
Yeah, the almost Frankenstein monster in season three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. yeah. It's, I mean, yeah, it's the show's really good. I mean, it's from season to season, it's one of the more consistent shows.
Yeah.
But, I've never seen a show that completely swap, not formats, but change stories, change
right.
settings and characters every season and still keep quality.
But apparently next year is going to be the biggest swap because they have announced that the next season is going to be the 2016 presidential election cycle.
What?
As a horror story,
that's reaching a little. But
yeah,
we'll
so
see.
I don't know. That's what they've announced that it's going to be.
Is Jessica Lange playing Hillary Clinton? Like,
I don't know. I haven't actually made it. I haven't watched anything after Coven.
Okay.
I haven't seen anything since Gaga came in.
Yeah, I'm actually with you. Yeah, I never saw Hotel. Just because I quit watching it live.
Yeah,
I just started watching.
I haven't seen Hotel. I haven't seen Freak Show.
Oh, Freak Show's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch Freak Show.
Okay.
That was that. Oh, yeah, you're right. It was Coven Freak Show. Yeah, watch Freak Show.
Okay.
Freak Show's very good.
Okay. Yeah, it just hasn't happened.
Yeah, no, I get
yeah.
it. especially with small children in the house. You have to be sort of selective, the emergence of
the toddler has made it where you can't just throw American Horror Story on in the living room and watch it.
Let's watch Decapitation, little Rome. Yay!
Yeah. So, it's an anthology series, and it very much, it pulls on horror tropes, but at the same time, it pulls on American history.
Yeah.
And it pulls on deeper things than you would normally see in a horror movie.
Right. Yeah. No, it's not like a, Rob Zombie-esque just hack and slash gore fest. You know, granted, it can be very gory.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it doesn't.
But it backs it up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a reason for the gore. And there's, it's in its place.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just gore or violence for the sake of gore and violence.
Right. And it kind of, the longer format allows it to slow play a lot of stuff that it gets a lot more into the season than you could get in a hour and a half, 2 hour movie.
Right.
Exactly. Horror movies tend to be an hour and a half.
Right.
And that's two episodes of this.
Of
this show. So you can develop, you can do a slow roll development, and doing so you can build up the creep a little more.
Correct. And you can do a lot of character progression, and you can do a lot to humanize even the baddest of the bad guys, in that amount of time.
Yep.
They didn't do it as much in season one, because really the further it went, the more you realize that the main characters were really the assholes. But in Freak Show, I remember specifically.
Yeah, a few seasons in, you start going, okay, which of these guys that we're supposed to like is going to be the baddie?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But in I remember Freak Show, the clown. The clown is a psychopathic killer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He is.
Clowns tend to be.
No, I mean, he is. He's this big, creepy, killer clown.
Yes.
But throughout the course of the show, you realize that, they humanized him a lot.
They realized he
wanted to be a clown, but he wasn't good enough. And so he tried to commit suicide and he blew half his face off.
Right.
Which sent him completely over the edge.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's...
Yeah,
so I by mean, the end you, of it, you feel bad for him a right. little bit.
Right. You
even though he's murdered half,
You go in understanding that these are bad people, and at the same time, and then they give you the flashbacks and the story behind why they are where they are.
Right.
And it kind of shows you, okay, even bad guys, it's kind of the Dr. Horrible thing that shows you, bad guys still think they're doing good.
Right.
Or, they're doing what's good in their narrative.
Right. Yeah, and it's, but like I said, in season one, just the longer it goes, the more you realize everybody sucks in this show. They're just bad people, and they kind of deserve what they get.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting going back and watching episodes, knowing how it turns out at the end, knowing the twists,
Right.
Knowing who the guy in the gimp suit is from the beginning.
Right.
And realizing, okay, they did show him throwing that away. And then she's like, I told you to throw that out. And you had suspicions that there was something awry, but you didn't know.
Right.
Right.
And, it's, like I said, I love how they can pull all of these different people. I mean, Zachary Quinto's in this.
Yeah, yeah. As a gay guy who gets,
That's not the biggest range for him. But, but it's more than him just playing Spock or just being his character from Heroes. He gets to really kind of go a little bit more, and it's familiar faces and unfamiliar roles.
Yes.
I mean, I remember Connie Britton as the mom from Friday Night Lights.
Right.
Which is a great show.
Yeah, and I guess she's in Nashville now.
Yeah, yeah. She's in Nashville now. I mean, she usually plays a more wholesome, all-American character that's her,
Yeah.
Nope. Not in this show, she doesn't.
I mean, she's playing the mom that got cheated on and is just kind of...
In this
surly.
Season.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But it's... I don't know. It's, like I said, it's a good show. It's huge when it came out. I think it still draws really good ratings.
I don't know.
They're still making them.
Yeah, they're still making them. They're on, like, long-term deals. But, they're on
FX.
They're on cable. Yeah. I mean, they're on back cable channels.
Well, FX is a pretty big channel.
Right. But, I mean, you're still not looking at network numbers.
No. Ever. Oh, God. But you couldn't do this on network television.
Right. Yeah.
You know, with the language and the violence, it has to be put late night on cable.
Yeah. But, you know, now, if you want quality television, you're not looking at the networks.
No.
Well, except maybe Legion, which is pretty good.
I haven't watched that one yet.
But, or is that, that's on FX. Never mind.
Yeah.
Legion's not on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, anything that's quality and has meat to it is not going to be on your network TV.
Right.
You know, your Walking Dead, your friggin', you know, all that stuff is on the back channels.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, and it has to be. I mean, your network channels are for general consumption. It's the McDonald's of food. You know.
But more and more, the general consumption is going to the back channels.
Oh, yeah.
You know, at least the general consumption I see. And I don't know what you go to the networks for at this point. I mean, you don't have, there's no 6 o'clock appointment news.
I mean, the 24-hour news cycle essentially, to me, killed the importance of watch 6 o'clock news.
Right.
You know.
And then the instant Twitter news cycle is kind of killing the 24-hour news cycle.
It's not.
It's not
reliable.
It's not a good killing, but it's killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you go to the networks for at this point? I mean, there's a couple of decent comedies, but, you know.
That's pretty much, I mean, it's pretty much comedies and cop dramas is all that's on.
Yeah. And all kinds of reality shows. I mean.
Yeah.
And those are cheap and draw, you know, huge numbers. And I guess that's the crap that we're supposed to put up.
Although I didn't really realize how long the reality television concept had been around until I was watching the 30 for 30 on the XFL.
Okay.
When Vince McMahon and NBC decided to make an alternative to the NFL.
I caught most of that.
Yeah. Even during that press conference, Dick Ebersol, the head of NBC Sports, is talking about, this is reality television. You know, this is going to be hard-hitting and real.
Right.
Like, I didn't realize that concept was around in 2000.
Well, Survivor came out in 2000.
So, yeah, I guess that's what really started it off.
But Survivor started in the U.S. in 2000.
Right.
Survivor UK was previous.
Right.
And they imported it in. But it depends on what you count as reality TV. You know, you've had Star Search forever.
Well, yeah.
You've had The Real World.
Yeah, Real World was like 92, 93. But
I mean,
there really wasn't. I'm talking about when the floodgates opened.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, Survivor was the first push, and that was 2000.
Yeah, because then you went from there to all these other dumb
reality
challenge shows.
Yeah, I remember watching season 2 of Survivor in 2001. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was still, yeah, I mean, I was in high school watching it with my parents.
I was recently married in California.
It was a captivating show at the time, you know, just because you'd never seen anything like it.
Yeah, and now it's not. But
oh, God, no. Like, I don't realize people still watch Survivor.
Yeah, I guess it's still on.
Wow.
I guess. I don't know.
Interesting parallel. Mark Burnett, the guy who did Survivor, is actually one of the associate producers on Lucha Underground.
There you go. We're not talking about that.
Synergy, baby. Synergy.
It all loops back on itself. Yeah,
wheels within wheels.
Wheels within wheels within wheels, yeah.
Yep. So going back to this show. Yeah, there's... Really, I guess the closest thing to this would be, the Twilight Zone. But Twilight Zone was a little more scattershot in its storytelling. It was a self-contained episode.
Exactly, yeah. I can't think of historically any show that completely scrapped the story after each season.
Right.
Going into the next.
Yeah, I can't either. I mean, like I said, Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah.
But those were short form.
Those were episode by episode stories. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And even, I mean, hell, Tales from the Crypt would tell you two or three stories in one 30-minute or hour. I forgot how long they were a show. And even those weren't self-contained.
Right. So. And it's like after season one of Stranger Things, you know, there was speculation that they might do the anthology thing with Stranger Things and just, you know, completely abandon the story that they've just built up. And thankfully, maybe damn it, who knows, they're going to continue with the kids that they had.
I think because the kids were such a hit.
Yeah, because...
That they're rolling with the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because now it's a big selling point of the show, and the kids are kind of famous on their own.
Yeah, and please don't fuck it up.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because even, I mean, one of the kids' voices changed in between shooting and doing freaking voiceovers.
Right.
For the first season, so... Right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know which is... I guess it would be... It is probably easier to just come up with a totally new story than it is to expound upon something you've already created.
I mean, if you've already created the universe and you already know... And you already know the limits and kind of the confines of what's going on, then you can tell another story. And it's like, okay, is it easier to take your D&D group and run a D&D story... And then run a follow-on D&D story? Or do you take your D&D group and jump to Vampire and try to, you know, and come up with a... It's more like work to come up with the completely new thing.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you can have... I mean, by having to tell a shallower story, and I mean,
right.
16 episodes is by no means shallower, 12 or however many it is. Mm-hmm. It's 12 hours. But being able to tell a shallower story,
mm-hmm.
I think, can be a little bit easier than having to tell a much more complex story that keeps the same characters, the same universe. It's right. a box.
And
it is a box.
And one thing that they've done to kind of make it oddly more compelling and at the same time a little easier to do that is they don't answer all the questions.
Right.
They leave some of that shit hanging out there where you're like, okay, what's happening?
Well, right, and I think the whole, like, what... Because I remember, after watching, I think, Coven, was thinking, how are they going to tie all this stuff in? Because that's when they really first came out and said everything exists in the same universe.
Right.
How are they going to tie in all of this stuff, you know, into one... Like, there has to be one season where everything just starts getting tied together, right?
No, that's when we get the Peter Jackson. He's going to make a 3-film...
And yeah.
4 hours,
17
each.
Hours of, yeah, 17 hours on the extended release. I've got those movies.
American Horror Story Ultimate Edition.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know. Like, I'm wondering if, like, just in the last episode, it's really just like a detective sitting.
Somebody wakes up. And,
right. Well, like, yeah, it's like two detectives just sitting around telling bullshit stories, yeah, you know?
Don't fucking do that.
You know they might, though.
Don't Newhart it. Don't do it.
It's all an autistic child's dream. A very violent, sociopathic child.
Well, she's already been introduced, so.
That's true. That's true.
It's all the girl with Down syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she weaves in and out.
Yeah, she was in season one. She was in Coven. I can't remember if she was in Freak Show or not. I'm not sure. I forget.
Yeah, I mean,
and then I haven't watched from there. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's any actor that has been in every season.
No, I thought that Jessica Lange's been in every season.
Okay,
I think I'd have to check. I'd have to go to the Wikipedia machine, but I'm pretty sure she's been in every season. And I thought that
because you'd almost have to make it one of the actors who has been in every season as the progenitor of the stories, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Maybe she's like a vampire or something, and you know, this is just
or an author, and these are her books, or something. Yeah. Yeah,
I'm trying to think. I think Lily Rabe's been in every season.
Okay,
I think that what's the other lady's name? Sarah Paulson's been in every season. I think she went from a minor character, now she's a major character.
Okay, yeah,
you know, but.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's any number of ways they could tie it together. And
like, Evan Peters has been in every season.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if he had moved on. But, yeah, hopefully they don't do it in some cheesy way. Either they leave it open or come up with a really good way to tie it all together. And, you know, it'd be very cumbersome to try to do a mashup of the stories because... There are so many actors who play who play different parts. So having Sarah Paulson interacting with Sarah Paulson and not realizing actually, that Sarah Paulson looks like Sarah Paulson.
I was pretty much right. The only actors to appear in all iterations of the show so far are Evan Peters, Sarah Paulson, and Lily Rabe.
Oh, okay.
So not Jessica Lange.
Yeah, yeah. I thought she dropped out in like Hotel or something like
Maybe
that.
Maybe she did, yeah. She needs to come back. She's amazing. Yeah, she needs to come back.
Yeah. So, you know, if they're going to do a huge wrap up and try to mash it all together, then they need to do it well. And I don't know that there's an elegant solution for that. I'm thinking it's probably just going to be left open.
Yeah. I don't know. It's, and that's what I didn't, because neither of us have watched the last couple of most recent seasons.
Right, yeah.
The more recent seasons are happening in modern times. I guess Hotel happened in 2015.
Okay.
Roanoke happened in 2016.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what this coming season, what season 7 is.
Is that the 2016 presidential election?
Well, it didn't.
See, I always assumed that Roanoke took place in like
right,
settler times when and I thought it was the story of like the settlement going away.
Right. But no, apparently it takes place in Roanoke, North Carolina during 2016. It focuses on paranormal events that take place in an isolated farmhouse.
Well, that's not what I wanted to watch.
You'll watch it anyway.
Which is why I haven't watched it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, now I think Hotel's on Netflix, so I'll probably go through and watch Hotel.
Yeah,
because I really do enjoy watching the show.
Yeah, Hotel is on Netflix because the picture on Netflix is from Hotel.
Okay.
It's got Gaga with the key in her mouth.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard she's really good in that show, actually.
Yeah. I'm not going to watch this. It's been a when do I fit it in?
Right.
Yeah. Because Iron Fist is coming out. You know, when am I going to watch American Horror Story?
Yeah. Iron Fist. Yeah.
There's always the next thing coming out that right from needs Marvel. To be watched.
Logan.
But yes.
Oh my god.
I really want to see that.
I
so
saw
bad.
It last night.
Oh, okay. I have not.
Oh my god. I'm not going to ruin it for you, but my eyes are really wide and I'm just saying, oh my god.
I really want to see that movie. Because
the best thing Fox has ever done comic book wise.
Have you watched Legion?
No.
At all. It is on FX, the app.
Okay.
And they're 3 episodes in or 4 episodes in. I might all be right. one behind. And it is based in the X-Men universe.
Okay.
But it's not mired down in X-Men.
Lore.
Because the main character is isolated. He is in a psych ward. And is considered schizophrenic. But, in the first episode, it's questioned whether he's actually schizophrenic and he has powers and it goes from there. There's a lot of the action that actually goes on in his head.
Okay.
Because so, you have a mutant that comes in to try to help him that can go in and take people into his memories and try to work it within his memories, and his memories kind of lash back at it. There's a lot that goes on in his head.
Huh.
And so you end up with mutable realities. And, is this what actually happened? Or is this how he perceived what happened? Or is this actually changing right now?
Okay.
It's an interesting show. And, it's based on an X-Men character who's actually in the show. We don't know his
identity,
his parental lineage, but okay. in the comics he is the son of Charles Xavier, illegitimate son of Charles Xavier, who finds out much later on that he's the son of Charles Xavier. And he's basically he's an Omega level freaking mutant
he's the son of Charles Xavier,
who goes freaking completely schizophrenic.
That could be cool.
Because there's so many voices in his head because he's the son of fucking Charles Xavier.
And
has no coping skills.
He's Charles Xavier without the Zen-like qualities.
Yes. So that's interesting. I'm watching that right now. I've actually heard good things about Riverdale, which is the Archie's the Archie Comics freaking like Twin Peaks style Archie Comics thing. Yeah,
it's what on, channel is this on? It's
on CW.
Okay,
so it's kind of CW-ized. So it's right. It's kind of teeny bopper, but it had. From what I've heard, it has kind of a Twin Peaks feel to it. Huh. And it's the Archie universe. So there's Josie and the Pussycats. There's Archie, right. Jughead, right. Veronica. Right.
It's characters you know.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's not characters that anybody that watches the CW would know. Because I don't know anybody yeah. over 18
so,
that watches
so it's
the
CW. All fresh.
Yeah. It's all, who is this Archie guy?
Yeah. So, yeah, I really want to watch some of that, too.
Yeah, that seems strange. I'll have to Hulu some of that.
Yeah. Is that on Hulu?
I know the CW is on Hulu.
No. CW has pulled out of Hulu. It's the CW app, because I have to go there. I have to remember to go there to watch the fucking Flash.
Oh, yeah.
Because they pull it. Yeah. It used to be on Hulu. And I'm
The CW moved their stuff over to Netflix, but it's a season behind.
But it's, yeah. It's way behind. And I am.
Because Trish is watching the Flash.
I'm kind of irritated with Hulu right now.
Why?
Because this week, Viacom pulled a shit ton of their content, which was The Daily Show.
Oh, and they're moving it over to their individual apps.
So, yeah, I had to load the fucking Comedy Central app. I had to load the Comedy Central app so I could watch The Daily Show. Thankfully, it's part of their free content because they have a freaking cable sign-in, and the cable sign-in I have doesn't have a Viacom deal, apparently. So apparently Comcast doesn't have a Viacom deal, so you can't look at their non-free
Comcast
content.
Comcast and Viacom have been, I think they've been at each other for a while.
So,
although I thought Comcast was like bought Viacom. Did they not?
No, I guess not. I think Comcast bought Hulu, and that might be that might be the whole thing. Point. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I hate the decentralization of all of this content.
Yes, yes.
Like it's, because,
I mean,
I don't want to download 14 apps to watch 14 TV shows.
Right, because
I'm eventually just going to skip it.
Exactly. And it's kind of, it needs to be seen as kind of like a format war, almost.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to back off of their shit.
Yeah.
You know, they all see themselves as viable and able to live in this same universe. But if it was DVD versus whatever, then...
What was it? DVD versus... What? Oh, hell. No, it was Blu-ray versus DVD Plus or whatever it was. Do you remember what that was?
No, it was... Yeah. It was like Super CD or some shit versus DVD. Yeah. DVD wasn't a good one. Beta versus VHS.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, if it was physical things that people have to decide what to buy, then this would be a war of... You know, more of a
right.
A
but creating an app is cheap.
Yes,
you know, and
people are willing to jump from app to app, up to a certain point.
Right.
When it gets to the point where I'm going into this app for one show and one show only, that show is going to become expendable much quicker.
Oh yeah.
Than if it's on a Hulu or a Netflix, if it's on one of the consolidated channels.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why I've kind of quit watching The Daily Show. I'm getting rid of my satellite. You know, the only thing I watch on Comedy Central now is At Midnight.
Yeah, I mean, I was...
And that's just, I'll backlog like 4 or 5 episodes and just blow through them all at once.
Yeah. And that's on Comedy Central, so if... And I think it's like the previous days, and I don't know how far back in the catalog it goes where you can still access.
They hold 3 or 4.
Yeah, so if you wait too long, you're not going to be able to watch them without the cable deal. So...
I don't know. Yeah, I really wish that they would quit doing that.
Yes.
Stop it.
Stop that. Yeah,
stop
because
that, please.
Yeah, there's what CISO now, which is NBC's comedy channel attempt thing.
Yeah. And yeah, I see
which,
that.
Which and has it has stuff that I kind of want to watch, but I'm not going to go pay for another channel.
No.
It's not going to happen.
No. It's Yeah, because I mean I like stand-up comedy.
Yes.
And I like comedy shows.
Yes.
And that show...
And Netflix is coming out with a new stand-up comedy special once a week for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, which is great, as long as they're comedians I like.
You can always go back and watch Aziz again.
Yeah. Kathleen Madigan.
Donald Glover.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of comedians that like. I mean, Bill Burr's still got a special on there. Bill Burr's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I think everybody's picky with comedy, but it's not being picky. It's comedy is something that either speaks to you or doesn't. And right. If it doesn't speak to you, then you're not going to watch that.
Right, right. Yeah, it's actually, I wish my favorite comedian would come here, but he's not coming anywhere close, which sucks.
It sucks.
Bert Kreischer.
Okay, I don't know that one.
Bert Kreischer, actually back in 1992,
okay,
was in college, and he had a Rolling Stone article written about him because he was like the biggest party and he was the biggest party guy at the biggest party school in the country.
Okay,
that story is what the movie Van Wilder was written off of.
Okay,
so he is Van Wilder.
Okay,
except now he's like 42 with kids, and he's a stand-up comic, and he's hilarious.
He swears.
It's not even that. He doesn't swear that much. Yeah. It's
No, I mean, he swears that he's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. No, he's hilarious. No, it's one of those things, like, he's got all these weird stories just because he's never... He's like, my whole philosophy growing up was just to never say no. If somebody wanted to do something, we just rolled with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's how I joined the Russian mafia. And that's how, you know, just all of this weird stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But, yeah, I mean, he's a storyteller, and storytelling comedians generally do it for me. It's why I like George Carlin.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know...
Yeah, you want some substance to your comedy. Yeah.
Right. I either like that or like things that are completely non sequitur, like Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's just a couple lines, laugh, 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 something completely
like different. Like the Anthony Jeselnik.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's not as funny.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
he is pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, Mitch Hedberg's a once he's in a generation.
Yeah. One of those people that was literally like too... genius to exist for very long. Like
yes.
The parallels between him and Kurt Cobain were very, very real. Yeah.
They're going to burn out. It's going to happen.
Yes. Right. And then they're going to be miserable.
Yes.
And then they're going to kill themselves.
Yes.
It happens. But yeah. So that's, I mean, it's weird. I like these two polar opposites of comedy, but yeah.
Okay. So we've gotten off topic, and that usually signals the time to... Well, we've pulled ourselves back in once and we've gone out again. So, so that usually signals the end.
We're like a tie. Come in, we go out.
Twice a day. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Do you have anything lined?
One of Adam Sandler's like four good movies, The Waterboy.
Well, I think it came down to the two Fairuza Balk movies, you know, kind of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We were trying to figure out which Oscar winner we were going to go with.
Yeah, the Craft or Waterboy.
Yeah. Waterboy it is.
Okay. So we'll go with Waterboy for next time, and I will edit out a large portion of decision-making because it didn't pause correctly the first time.
We'll just replace it with the Jeopardy theme.
No, we can't afford that. That takes, you know.
Just do the MIDI file. It's not actually.
There are no residuals involved.
There's no residuals in MIDI. That's rule number two of the internet.
So we will be talking about the Waterboy next time.
Waterboy.
And you are?
I'm that Joe you know on Instagram. I'm the Joe you know on Twitter.
And I am at Woodle on the Twitter and the Instagram and pretty much anywhere else you see that name. And we will talk at you next time. Beyond a kind, beyond a frequency, behold a mind, behold a mind. Tear down.